Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm, Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here. You missing the first hour, you can catch that, The Fan Podcast. The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com. I just completely blacked out
and
there.
And he
a
had
moment.
A stroke.
The Odyssey app lets you rewind, fast forward, chapters, all that shabazz and all that stuff you need there, plus the YouTube chat. If you missed some of primetime on Friday, you can check that out on the YouTube as well. If you want to see any of Dirt and Sprague this morning, you can catch that on the YouTube. You can rewind, fast forward, except for into the future, because that's impossible. 503-864-6326. Y'all are super active today, and I can't thank you enough for this. Read some thoughts here before we get into Oregon State. Arch is going to need to transfer, like Bo leaving Auburn, to have a shot. That's a wild thought to think about. I would be here for it because it would be great content for us.
You know, it'd be great for you.
What?
Transfers to Ole Miss.
Ooh. I don't know. I think Lane's okay with where he's at.
But just think about this for a second. The storyline is he stays in the SEC. He goes to dad's old school.
He goes or, to not, uncle, no, uncle and dad. Grandpa and uncle's.
Yeah, old school. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the other USC wonder kid. And all of a sudden you get to see, not apples to apples, but about as close as you get to it.
Major Applewhite and Chris Sims might have something to say about Texas
yes.
quarterbacks.
I knew there was
somebody I was missing, and that was Chris Sims.
I pulled up like top 10 quarterbacks Sims in Texas good. History. Despite them being a storied program, they are not a quarterback school.
They are not.
Like, at all. At all. Running backs? Yes. Wide receivers? Yes.
I mean, Vince was pretty good.
But defense? Yes.
Oh, all over the place.
But quarterbacks? No.
There's more great point guards at Texas than quarterbacks.
Shout out TJ Ford.
Shout out DJ Augustine.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I loved Augustine.
Yeah.
Let's see. Drew Aller or Arch Manning? I'm taking Arch.
Arch.
Yeah, I got because, time to work with him.
Yeah. Drew, Aller, you know who he is.
Yep.
Arch, they might end up being the same guy, but yeah.
Beaver Nation, I understand and share your disappointment with how our football season has started. My expectations for our program are high, and right now we are not meeting them. Head coach Trent Bray and I are reviewing every aspect of the program and committed to make immediate changes. With half of the regular season still ahead, there remains an opportunity to continue improving in every area. Your feedback is important to us, and it aligns with our own concerns and frustration. We value your support, and together we can create more memorable moments for Beaver Nation. The work to get back to our winning ways begins in earnest now. Go Beavs. Signed, Scott Barnes.
That's
and not Scotty Barnes in Toronto.
No, this statement is horrendous.
Although I'd be interested to hear Scotty Barnes'
thoughts
on Oregon State's football program right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the question, what to do with Oregon State? After UCLA, oh no, I guess they're not Power Four. This program is in a rough
Oregon
rough
State
spot.
Is you can make an argument the only program in the country that's worse than them is Kent State.
Right now, yeah, Kent State has a gauntlet of a schedule, but they're also just good.
I think Kent State's lost like 25 or 27 consecutive games. Like they're horrendous in a level that you cannot fathom. Oregon State, it's not just the football product, because you can make a very clear argument that they should have won two or three games.
Sure. And sometimes the cookie crumbles that way. You know, one score games, we see it in the NFL. We see it in college basketball. You see it in baseball a ton. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way.
But we've talked about this across all sports. You can make some of your own luck. Just running through the all of the things, whether it's the NIL and how in shambles that is, that ties in the blueprint scandal
and the damnation stuff. What's his name just walked out?
Yeah, their GM of NIL,
allegedly GM.
whatever his position is, he's like, I'm gone.
Yeah,
and they keep talking about this war chest, and I've this is not reporting, this is just me. I'm wondering how much money they actually have because of how they're operating. I don't understand what the hell they're doing, but this statement, the very last sentence. The work to get back to our winning ways begins in earnest now. You are 1-12 in your last 13 games. The earnestness should have happened a long time ago.
A long time ago.
You cannot get up there a week ago as Trent Bray and talk about how you can't fire special teams coordinator because the continuity for your student athletes matters, and then fire him the next week. Because you know what that says? It says you're panicking. It says you don't have a plan. It says you don't have any core beliefs. Trent Bray got up there. I can't remember who asked him. It was Bill Orham. Are you fit to be a head coach? Why should you be the head coach? He's like, well, I love it here. That's not a good enough reason, Trent. It's not. There is nothing that they have done up and down. I am done saying, you know, I don't like calling for people's jobs. I don't. You should be fired, Trent Bray. Scott Barnes, you should be fired. The president of the university, she should be fired. Every single person in power at that university should be handed a shovel to go dig their own career grave. Get the hell out. There is not a single tenable, savable thing about this institution or organization as it pertains to athletics. None. None. There is zero confidence in Scott Barnes. Absolutely zero. If you have it, you are insane. You are insane. I can't remember the last time I saw a functional program that was as good and as highly touted as Oregon State has been for the last 20 plus years that has fallen on their face harder than that university. It is disgusting.
November 1st, they take on Washington State. I'm going down to that game. The question is do we outnumber them?
Probably. Honestly, a couple weeks ago, I said go down there and protest. Not you, like Oregon State fans. Don't run away. At this point, don't show up. Don't show up.
Yeah. I wonder how cheap I can get into the building.
Dirt cheap. Dirt cheap.
I have three rows of bleachers to myself.
Yeah, don't even paper bag it. Like, if you're an Oregon State fan, don't even show up, man. Turn your back. And that's legitimately hard for me to say.
It's like right now, tickets as low as $14.
Good God. You could probably get a really good seat for $50.
I would spend that $50 too. Stay after Halloween. I hope it's a night game.
Yeah, it's a college football game. And new research.
It's going to be a 12:30 kick.
New research, dope.
Yeah, it's going to be a 12:30 kick.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't thinking of the Halloween game. This was this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good. I assumed you were talking about this weekend against Wake Forest. Ooh.
Like, you released this statement, head coach Trent Bray and I are reviewing every aspect of the program and committing to making immediate changes. The immediate change should have been Trent Bray left on the tarmac.
By the way, against Washington State, it's tickets as low as $26.
Ooh. Ooh.
So, my bad.
They know we're coming.
So, for $60, you can get a really good seat.
Bob says this on the YouTube chat. I had this conversation yesterday with myself. I had it again this morning when I was listening to Dirt and Sprague, and then they asked the question, too. At this point, is it even worth following this?
Yes, because it's such a tremendous disaster.
I'm pretty exhausted by it, if I'm being honest.
I am too, but this isn't just crappy football.
It's just the pure fumes from this tire fire.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can huff those fumes anymore, you know?
But that's
like having the real honest question.
But the thing is that that's what the story is that they are so garbage.
But a tire fire will continue to burn and continue to burn. And it doesn't go away until it's done. I really need to report that the tire fire is still burning? I'm just asking the question.
No, I get it. But the thing is, at some point, and I think we're already there, is the story, is that the tire fire is still burning and they're not really doing much to quell that.
Let's put a pin in this. We'll throw this down to closing arguments. We'll have the discussion then. Is it worth discussing? Is it worth watching? Is it worth paying attention to the Oregon State football program? Your thoughts are welcome. 503-864-6326 or the YouTube chat. We'll save that for 12:45 when we get into closing arguments. That's it. Like, that's where we are now. We can no longer argue what's going on the field. We can no longer discuss what's going on in the front office. It is now, are you worth my attention? And that is the scariest question you can ask about anybody. Because it's not about relevancy. It's, are you worth the air that comes out of my lungs? Mm-hmm. And I know I'm a nobody. I'm just a stupid dude with a microphone.
But you can see that Oregon State alumni, Oregon State fans, like, you know what, they're thinking the same thing.
You know what I don't talk about? I don't talk about Minnesota football because it's not worth my time. If we're in Big Ten country, it's worth my time. Mm-hmm. We're in Oregon State country, and I'm asking that question. 503-864-6326. We'll get to that at 12:45. When we come back, what to do with Dylan Gabriel? Huh? He made his debut in the NFL this week. Let's get a little positive over here, and we'll slide over to the NFL. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a cool little big nooner for you. Today we'll slide over to the NFL. Sunday Night Football was an interesting fascination thing. I've got a lot of issues with the Philadelphia Eagles and their offense, so we'll get to that in the big nooner. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The early game on the Sunday slate was over the seas, over the high seas. That's 71% is ocean, 80% is water. Water. This game was over in London.
Are you British? Are you going to go water? Water?
I think that's what they say in Philadelphia, water. I don't think the Brits say water.
Oh, no, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, because they get mad because we say water.
Water.
They say water.
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 Would you like some water? Dylan Gabriel made his NFL debut as a starting quarterback for the NFL. I ask you this question. Dylan Gabriel play better than Joe Flacco?
The bar is the floor.
I'm just asking the question.
What did he finish with? I can't remember.
19 of 33, 190 yards, two tuds. Sacked twice.
I will say.
QBR of 38.9.
Yeah, so.
That's a rough QBR.
Where I thought Dylan kind of fell short was the accuracy stuff, which is where he has thrived, which definitely made me raise a little bit of an eyebrow.
That is the most interesting part.
Wentz was dealing for a while, and then he got dinged up, came out of the game, and it was kind of touch and go there for a little bit. And the offense never really got going, but also that Browns defense is really good. So it was kind of hard to judge Gabriel from a sense of like the flow of the game. It's London, Minnesota's kind of in this weird spot.
The Browns were kind of in control of this game for a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, what was they were up like, what, 17-7? I think they're up 17-7 at 1 point.
10-7 at half, yeah. 17-7, and then it went 17-14.
And again, that Browns defense is very good.
Very, very good.
Very good.
They sacked Wentz three times. They, 16 hurries.
In Minnesota, I mean, they ran the ball okay. They ran the ball okay, but it wasn't, you know, anything overpowering. Justin Jefferson, still really good. Getting Jordan Addison back has been extremely helpful
huge,
for the Vikings.
Huge.
Yeah. Turns out having a second guy that just did route you up left, right, and center is super useful.
Also, Addison, don't be an idiot. How about that? Don't be an idiot, and your team might be in a better spot right now.
Don't. What was it? His is a Dewey, right?
I think it's performance enhancing. No, because that's eight games.
No, I think Addison was a Dewey.
I think that's eight games. That's my bad. Yeah, dude, don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb. Period, point blank. But I thought Dylan was fine.
Mm-hmm.
For a first start on the road in London, all of the different things, I thought Dylan was entirely fine.
Yeah.
Again, I was a little disappointed with some of the accuracy stuff, but speed of the game, first start, like you give him a little bit of a pass there. But again, if you're asking, was he better than Flacco? The bar is the floor, but probably. Probably.
Yeah, I think, and that's all you're asking for when it comes to backup quarterbacks, especially kids. When you're putting rookies in and you're taking out vets, you know, whether the bar's the floor or Flacco's elite or Flacco's not anymore, I think the question is are you giving us a chance? Are you developing? Are you an absolute dumpster fire? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, he gave them a chance.
Yeah.
They were, I mean, the defense was what put them in that
game. You force two fumbles and you get the ball back and, you know, those kind of things are super helpful, but
guess what Dylan Gabriel didn't do? He didn't throw a pick at the end of the game.
Nope.
You know, I think he just lost.
I think you can trust Dylan Gabriel. When I look at Gabriel, for me, the floor for him is competent backup.
Mm-hmm. I don't expect him to be a starter in this league at all.
No, but a lot of that has to do with his size. That's just the reality of it. You have to be so special to be great at his size.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he has that.
Ask Bryce Young. Ask Kyler Murray.
Yeah, if Kyler's 6'2" in the exact same talent, he's a special quarterback.
For sure, but he's not.
But he has those limitations. Russ being smaller, what did he have? He had the deep ball, the play action deep ball. Like, he can throw that ball at his peak about as good as anybody. You just, like, it was like, well, you know, what about like Doug Flutie? Like, yeah, you're pulling at the exceptions, not the rules. If you're under 6 foot tall and you're under 200 pounds, which I think, what is Gabriel listed at?
No way he's under 200 pounds.
He had 5'11", 205.
Yeah, there's no way he was under 200 pounds.
Buddy, have you seen the picture of him next to Bo Nix and Justin Herbert at camp this year?
Well, that's not fair. Those guys are huge.
I mean, Bo's not enormous.
But Justin's a big guy.
Yeah, but it looks like a make-a-wish.
That's not very nice, Daniel.
It's not, but he's not built like if he's 5'11", in cleats, like he's just not a big dude. So he has a lot of stuff to overcome. But it was like, well, Shador this. I'm like, look, man, I trust Dylan Gabriel to get rid of the ball and make smart decisions.
I do too, and use his legs.
And that's why he's starting over Shador. It's pretty clear.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I might be starting over Shador at this point.
Wow, I don't think we're going to go with that.
Some of your thoughts. Rookie QB first start in a different country for the Browns. Got through 2 TDs and no turnovers. Sounds like a great start to me. Don't forget that Minnesota defense has made 10-year vets look stupid. I think DG was just fine. I think that's where it is. You know, like, living in a world, when you live in a world in the NFL of the Cleveland Browns, which they live in a very special world of their own, as the guy's T-shirt doesn't fit Browns quarterbacks anymore, I think this is the best thing you can ask for. And you trot him out next week, and you just hope that he continues. You're at the Steelers. It's a division game. You know, you're on the road again. You might have been the home team, quote unquote, but you're in a different country, so you're on the road again. And this is what I said last week. Like, this kind of shapes up for a really good moment to see what you got from Dylan Gabriel. Do I think he's going to be a superstar in the NFL? No. I don't know if he'll even be Bo Nix's level, just to use a comparison from another Duck quarterback, because I think Bo's going to be a really solid starter in the NFL for many years. You're at the Steelers. You get the Dolphins at home.
Yeah, their schedule coming up, Steelers, Dolphins,
Patriots. On the road looks a little weird after last night, for sure, but then you get the Jets and then the Ravens and the Raiders and... You're going to have a lot of opportunities to go out and ball.
You're playing teams that are one-dimensional.
You are.
You're playing a lot. I mean, the Ravens have the worst defense in football, and we have got
to find... The Patriots might be the most balanced team on that whole list.
Yes, I would agree. We have got to talk about the Ravens at some point this week, because I don't care.
I got on the slate for tomorrow.
I don't care how many guys are out. You give up 44 to the Texans.
Yep.
Brother. But yeah, as it pertains to the Browns, this is your find-out period. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a relatively soft schedule, and if Gabriel can go out there and show a level of competency, not turn the ball over, improve the accuracy a little bit, the game slows down for him. That defense is very good, and they can win games. Now, are they a playoff team? No, but
no.
This is to make a comparison here. I thought when the Raiders got Geno Smith, they have a competent quarterback.
Mm.
Geno Smith has been a train fire.
Yeah, I've got that on
the
sheet.
It is tire fire and train wreck together.
I want to ask the question about him and Chip Kelly. I think we'll get to that on Wednesday.
Holy. But Gabriel's very far removed from that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, some of it is the local angle. You know, I don't know many people that are having this conversation about Dylan Gabriel today around the country. Outside of Cleveland.
Yeah.
And we do because there's a little bit of local angle. But because of that local angle, you might get me to watch a little more Browns football.
I like watching young quarterbacks who might have a little something. Like, I don't want to watch Spencer Rattler. I don't care.
I would watch Tyler Shuck just to see.
Yes.
I would.
But Bryce Young, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm out on that, yeah.
Like,
I've seen enough of
Jackson
that.
Dart?
I'm
sign
eyeballs,
me up, baby.
Eyeballs.
I want to see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel's not to like, I want to see what you got, but I'm like, I'm interested.
Yeah, Eagles Giants doesn't look great on paper for Thursday Night Football. But I'm going to watch because I want to see Dart.
Let's see what Dart
I
looks
see
like.
Dart.
Dart made some mistakes in the game last week, but he also showed some stuff where you went, they might have something here.
When we come back, it's postseason baseball's delivering. We'll stick with the Seattle Mariners. What to do with the Seattle Mariners is I think you're glad you came out 1-1, but not in the way you thought you were coming out 1-1. So we'll get to that next. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Web Gems up next. Fun little hockey story to share with you, and then a heavy NFL hour at the Big Nooner. Closing arguments. We'll get back to our Beavers conversation. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line, also over on the YouTube's chat as well. Baseball's been a lot of fun, friends. Baseball's been a lot of fun. I hope you're watching.
A lot of fun. That Mariners game, was their juice last night.
Which one?
Last night.
Both of them I thought were fantastic.
Well, they were fantastic, but last night, man, look, I'm not a Mariners fan, but I got caught up in it because when we were in the break, they had the clip showing of the Mariners fan crying in the outfield.
It's so amazing.
Takes his glasses off and goes to his old lady. And
she takes his glasses off. She takes them off and says, come here.
Been 24 years since they've won a postseason game. Mm-hmm. Not won a series, won a game.
The emotions are there for sure. I was giving you a little crap.
I'm like, that's why you have to have 10 tones down because mm-hmm. you can't get that feeling. You can't get that emotion unless you genuinely care.
Yeah.
And like, that's the cool thing about baseball is that you get Julio up in that spot and it's pure magic mm-hmm. with what happens because it's not a seeing eye single smashed anywhere. He's completely sawed off. The bat goes further than the ball and it's just like, holy crap, they're going to do it. Reliever comes in on a back-to-back outing and just throws some of the filthiest sliders you've ever seen. Guys are swinging and missing at everything, and you could feel it. You could feel the juice in the stadium, the roar. The last batter, he took, 15 or 16 pitches? It was a long at-bat.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention that much.
Oh, he kept it going, and it was like, good God, he's keeping this thing going. I think he threw 18 pitches in the inning, but I think he threw 12 or 13 to the last batter.
Look, the Seattle bullpen has been absolutely phenomenal. Shout out to Luis Castillo last night, who as I'm watching the game, I'm thinking, dude, you got way too many pitches. You're walking way too many guys. And then it was in the fourth inning and I realized he hadn't given up a hit. And I was like, okay.
Finding a way.
This series has been absolutely fascinating, and I credit Dan Wilson with a lot of work ahead of talking with. I talk with Luke Anderson about this every morning, big Mariner fan guy, chat baseball with him every morning. And, you know, I think you draw it up thinking you come out of this going back to Detroit for game three tomorrow, which is a 1 o'clock pitch. I'm stoked about that because I'm going to get the hell out of here and run home to watch mm-hmm. that game. I think you thought you were coming out 1-1.
But
it was flipped on its head. You throw Kirby in game one thinking, you know, you can get to that team who just came off a grueling series against Cleveland, knowing Skubal's going in game two. And you throw Castillo out there because, look, right now Castillo is probably the quote-unquote worst starter you have, which would be an awesome problem for anybody in the playoffs to have right now. And Castillo went out there and pitched really, really well. Look, I thought Kirby threw well on Saturday as well. I think
threw good enough to win.
If you look at his stat line, you're totally okay with that. But things get weird in the 11th. You did tie the game 2-2. And then yesterday was the same situation. Castillo threw great. Game's tied 2-2. And who comes to the plate both times? The answer is welcome to the show, kid. Julio Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. We know you're amazing because we sit here and hear about you all the time. I know you're amazing because my wife sleeps in a t-shirt that says Rodriguez on the back. I'm fully aware how great you are. Welcome to the stage. Welcome to showing the world that you are one of the bright lights in Major League Baseball. And you play in Seattle. Without Julio Rodriguez, this series is 0-2.
You've got Julio and then Polanco.
And Polanco
was just so huge for them.
Them taking a chance on him again was a very dicey move by the Mariners to make preseason. And the apology form is up and ready for you to sign whenever you're ready.
He wasn't going to get back up to bat again. Were you surprised they pulled him, pinch runner, and did the defensive swap?
No, because the game was too important.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, I was a little surprised, like, but then I talked myself into it.
And eyebrow raised. I was like, he's been a guy for you, like, you sure you want to do that here?
Because I think the reality was you had the lead.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the game was still tied like it was the night before.
Because if you get into extras again, now you're going,
lose Polanco.
Oh, no.
But that bullpen on Saturday night was so stupid, and it showed up again on Sunday. And that's the benefit of not playing in the wild card, is that rotation is fully rested. Mm-hmm. Did they exhaust their bullpen in game one to a loss? They sure did. But guess what? Those guys were real sharp in game two because they were on full rest. They get today off, and you walk into Tuesday in game three, Logan Gilbert on the mound against Jack Flaherty. You can get to Flaherty. Mm-hmm. And if Gilbert does Gilbert things, boom, you're up 2-1.
And not only that, Munoz went back-to-back.
Yep.
Like, and that was, look, we're going to talk about Polanco and Rodriguez.
He's the best closer in baseball right now.
But
I know Chapman's out there in the Red Sox, but.
But Munoz coming out there, it wasn't a gutsy performance and like, oh, he pitched last night and let's see if he's got. He was filthy. He was filthy.
Right now, when you get to the end of a game, if the Mariners are playing and they've got a lead and you get to the ninth inning, this is what's coming out of your bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the juice. That's the juice that's coming out right now. And that's Munoz. And this team's really fun to watch. This team is really, really fun to watch. I think getting to Skubal was a surprise. And if you see the look on his face after that second home run he gave up to Polanco, he knew that was a surprise too.
Also, Seattle, get your chant in line for Eugenio. Hey, Eugenio, Gino, did you hear it coming across? Like, some are chanting Gino, some are trying to do like the three-syllable Eugenio, and it was like, pick one.
Well, I think what you need to get together is Eugenio in general. Yeah. Like, the guy has struggled. The guy has struggled mightily.
But they were backing him.
Of course they do. They're backing their guys.
I thought that was cool.
A funny story, on Friday night, I met up with a good buddy of mine, and he had... he was gifted, his buddy couldn't go. He was gifted two tickets to the Seahawks because it was, their season tickets. He couldn't go. And my buddy's a big Seahawk fan. And he was like, yes, do you want to go with me? Mm. We got free tickets to the Seahawk game. And then we'll pay $200 to get in the door to go to the Mariner game. And I had some pops in me. So I was like, hell yeah, brother, let's do it. Oh, but let me check with the wife first. And I realized I had too much to do on Sunday, so I couldn't do it.
Coward.
I know. It wasn't coward. It was that I had too much to do. Family duties.
Hold on. I'm getting an update right now. You're a coward. Also, the Blue Jays just scored again.
Yeah, thank you. I had too much to do, so I couldn't go, so I had to bail on him. And he was like, well, I'm going anyway. So he's got the Seahawk thing. He can't figure out. He was just going, whatever, I'm going to eat the ticket. Jumps on Reddit, finds somebody who's like, hey, my buddy is flippy-flop. He doesn't know if he can go. I'm just selling my Mariner ticket at face value. Is anybody interested? Buddy hits him up. They start texting, change phone numbers. They start texting. And he goes, well, and my buddy says, well, I'm already going to be in Seattle because I've got tickets to the Seahawk game and I'm trying to do the Mariners as well. And he goes, ooh, you're trying to make a whole day out of it, huh? That's awesome. I wish I could do that. And then he goes, wait.
You can.
Would you like to trade?
So did he hook him with a random
second Seahawk ticket for the guy's second Mariner ticket?
That's cool.
And they went to both games together.
That's righteous.
Yeah.
Now that's an awesome story to share too.
And you got a friend. You got a sports friend in Seattle.
You have a sports friend for life.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Now, the end of the Seahawk game isn't rad, but you had a great day. He showed me the pictures of the seats.
Look, that's a great game. Look, if you're going to be like, if you're going to lose a game and be in attendance and have like the opportunity, like,
I know.
If you're there, you know what I mean? Like, if I you're know. There.
He was selling it to me, and the reality was I just couldn't afford it. But he was selling it to me like, you know, it's good content for the radio show. And I was like, I know. But I didn't end up doing it. But I'm glad that story went out because I think that's cooler than if I would have gone up with him.
Okay.
Especially because we would have had to drive back last night.
I'm sure this story is being shared on Reddit now, too.
I'm sure it is. When we come back, it's Web Gems, everybody's favorite. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Now, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
It's Monday, amigo. That's how it is. It's a Monday.
I just looked at him like, how is the show almost over?
I did have to remind Daniel that there was an hour left.
I know, but like, we're already at basically noon. It's just flown by.
Yeah, we're getting there. We got a lot to get to this week. Some stuff that we won't get to today that I've got on the sheets for the next few days. Free consultation tomorrow on Tuesday, as we always do. We'll touch on that Seahawk game that we mentioned. We got to get to Mark Sanchez tomorrow as well. And game day coming to Autzen. Boy, you guys are spoiled. I'm so jealous. I'm going to tangent real quick before I get to this awesome hockey story. We'll talk about game day at Autzen tomorrow. But on a side note, for somebody that's only been to one game day, I've only ever had one game day at Wazoo. It was legendary, epic proportions. We had the greatest man in the history of life.
Yeah, dang.
And Mr. Gardner Minshew II. Would you rather have Oregon multiple, many, many game days? I mean, usually if you have game day, it's because your program's really good. Would you rather have multiple game days that come maybe once a year or once every other year? Or would you rather have the one special one?
Give me all of them.
And this is where I think you and I philosophically, characteristically, personality-wise differ. It may be the best way to describe the difference between you and me, because I'll take the one. Like, that's the hopeless romantic in me.
That's totally fair, but...
Because you're right. I'd rather have the many of them.
Yeah.
Because it means your program is great.
But not just that. Like, you can have special ones.
But
like, you can, even if you have a lot of them, they
but
can
I just
still
have,
be special.
I just have the one.
Yeah.
And I kind of, that's the hopeless romantic in me. This, I love the one.
You know, I get what you're saying, but it's like the Celtics. You know, every generation has their set of banners. You know?
Like, yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's dope.
That's awesome.
I hate them.
But you know what I would love?
Dope.
But you know what I would love? The one here in Portland.
But the thing is, we have, and that's the thing is.
No, like, but it wasn't alive for
that's
it.
That's the thing.
So it doesn't count for me, really.
But you could get to a point where that's.
I will always have
80-year-old Patrick Harris remembers it.
I will have,
but
I will always have my one star above my Timbers crest. I will always have that.
Sure, but in 50 years, you know, like we are removed from the 77 title,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like we weren't alive, man. Yeah. It's like you.
It's like Sixers fans, you know.
Gotta hit you.
Oh, sorry. Rusty, you were alive.
I was barely alive.
But
I wasn't quite a year old when they won.
But
yeah.
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I got you.
But some of us aren't that old, you know, to,
E.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But like, yeah, just it's like, this will piss Duck fans off. It's like a 1937 national title. Doesn't matter.
Cougs got one of those too.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sure, it's there, but it has to be like somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Look, for not just you, but the holistic you for that one, it's dope as hell.
Because I'll ask you this, who is more stoked, the Giants with three rings or the Cubs with one?
Giants.
I don't know, man. It might be the Cubbies with one.
How many thousands of Cubs fans died without seeing it?
That's what I mean.
But
you got to be one that's alive.
Yeah, I know, but that also just goes, oh God, how much longer is it going to be? And then you're clinging on to it for another 80 years.
Yeah, on the YouTube chat, I love the one. All my teams inadvertently haven't won yet, so the special one will be romantic. That's just where I live.
Look, I was talking to...
I'm okay with failing your entire life and succeeding once.
Yeah, no.
I'm okay with that. Welcome to my job right now.
The Blazers scorekeeper has been doing it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy at the desk. And I was talking to him at FanFest after the game yesterday. I was like, how was your summer, man? He's like, oh, you know, it was really busy for me. I was at the NBA Finals. We were there doing it. So it's, you know, they like Todd Bosma is the MC for the Blazers and all the halftime and game ops stuff. Todd is universally like considered the best guy in the league at that.
Great.
So he does like all-star game and like all the big festivities and stuff like that. Cause Todd rules, right? Same thing with the score committee. They've been doing it for a long time. And he was like, you know, we don't always get these opportunities, but you know, this was our fourth NBA Finals. And he pulls up his album on his phone. He goes, yeah, he had a picture of Jokic when the Nuggets won. They were sitting in the scorekeeper and Jokic is from me to you holding his kid as confetti's falling.
It's awesome.
And I'm like, you've gotten to do this Fort Halley. Got hurt right in front of him.
Oh, wow.
Like he was there this year. Like, it was like, you were like, to have those opportunities, like multiple opportunities to be there at like very huge points, inflection points in sports.
Yeah, I think about it with Al Michaels a lot. The Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
He had the earthquake in the 89 World Series. And now he openly talks about how much he hates his job and makes Herb Street laugh all day.
Yeah.
Like, to be in those moments, to be Jim Nance.
That earthquake?
Final Fours and Masters. Oh, really?
Yeah, October 18th.
Yeah, Jim Nance, to be at Final Fours and the Masters when, you know, specific guys win. Like, to be a part of those moments day in and day out, it's pretty rad.
There's always the, you know, you get too used to it or you don't appreciate it. But that's the thing, is you know.
Yeah.
You know. And if you don't, you're giant POS.
I'm going to throw a wild hockey stat at you for Web Gems today, as this is brought to you by the Tampa Bay Lightning and Florida Panthers game, preseason game that happened. Puck drops tomorrow? Puck drops Wednesday? Season's about to start.
Yeah, it's right in line with the NBA.
I think hockey's going to get a little bit of bandwidth from me this year.
Did you pick a team?
No, not yet.
Pick a team.
I'm leaning the Winnipeg Jets because I got some friends in Winnipeg.
Fun.
Fun.
Hartford Whalers.
That's not a team anymore, Bob.
Dope jerseys.
Yeah.
Atlanta Thrashers.
But in this preseason game between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers, it ended with a combined 62 penalties, 13 ejections, and 274 total penalty minutes. If that doesn't scream, I'm ready for hockey, I don't know what will.
Love it.
I don't know what will. Like, we're ready, guys. We're ready to cause problems.
You know, I'm looking at that
Jets. That's state rivalry right there.
That Jets roster, it does scream Patrick Harris.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know enough about hockey.
It does.
Yeah?
It does.
Well, I don't love the logo, though, because I'm like thinking if I pick a team, I got to buy a hat.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it should be so much better. Like, they should have, like, a side profile of a Jet kind of a deal, like a kind of throwback to, like, a 70s or 80s kind of team. Instead, it's this minimalist thing with an outline of a Jet with a little compass pointing north and a stupid maple leaf. It's just like, eh.
Yeah, the Mammoth looks dope. I don't know if I can get into the Utah situation.
I think it's going to be pretty sick, though.
I think so, too.
I think it's going to be pretty sick.
Look, I think the Kraken stuff is really great, too, but I don't know if I got...
You do strike me as a crackhead.
I don't know if I got the Seattle in me. I originally have always thought if I picked a team, it would be the Canucks. So I'm wondering if...
Stop picking Canadian teams!
Why not? What's wrong? Canada's awesome.
God, you freaking socialist.
It's our 51st state, dude. Yeah. They're great.
Terrible. Pick an American team.
I don't know.
God.
I don't know. Well, disgusting. I kind of want to pick the Canucks because I can, like, actually maybe go to a game.
What about the Kings?
No, I'm not going to L.A.
Well,
are you a Kings guy?
Yeah, I'm a Kings
guy. I figured.
Well, Gretzky came to L.A. when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course. Like,
I went from not caring about hockey to
caring
the greatest hockey player in the history of the game plays here. I'm interested now as a child. But, I mean, look, you want to go up to an insane environment in arena, you aren't going to beat the Kraken.
I know.
I
love Climate Pledge, too.
I will say also, the Golden Knights are right there, too, with Vegas.
Swag wears a really dope Kraken hat.
Yep.
It's really nice.
Kraken, I mean, Furness, you know, he's the studio host for them, man. Like, he was on with Dirt and Sprague last week. He mentioned how much the Portland market matters to the Kraken. And, like, they do stuff down there. We have the local broadcast. That's the other thing, is you can watch games. You can watch them over the air.
Well, and Root's dead now. Thank God. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
See you later, bye.
Should have carved some time out for that, but I forgot about it because
you hate to see it. Oh, yeah, well.
It couldn't happen to a nicer set of people. I do have a great story, though, but I mean, I can't choose this team because it would just feel too bandwagon-y. But one of my first roommates ever when I moved out from my parents' house, shout out my buddy Jesse, who owns Doolin's Cafe in downtown Vancouver. we used to sit on the couch. Well, I would go out at night and I would come back home and there'd be my there'd be my boy Jesse on the couch, stoned out of his mind, watching Red Wings Avalanche fight highlights while listening to Primus. And
I'm not certain which team he's a fan of, the Red Wings or the Avs. I'm leaning towards the Avs.
He's a Red Wings guy.
Interesting. Yes. Definitely would have thought Avs.
Yeah, he's a Red Wings guy. So, like, part of me wants...
You can join Souk.
Part of me wants to choose that just because that was kind of my first real introduction to hockey was through my boy.
But it's also a Detroit team.
But it's also a Detroit team, which I cannot get behind at all. My kids are diehard Detroit Red Wings fans.
I'm trying to think. You
what if I just go full heel and take the Avs?
I'm okay with the Avs. You just can't
It's a cool logo,
You can't go Sharks. If you go Sharks, I will beat you over the head.
No, I wouldn't go Sharks. I have no connection. Joe Fish III, he's a Sharks guy.
See, that tracks.
Easy on it. Joe's my boy.
I love him too, but still, I'm going to give him hell. He's a Cowboys fan. He makes poor choices.
That is tough. That was mean.
Was I wrong?
That was mean.
Was I wrong?
Just because you're right doesn't mean it's not mean. All right, we come back. We got a loaded third hour. A lot to do in the NFL. What to do with the Buffalo Bills, as there was a weird game last night on Sunday Night Football. We'll do that, plus more NFL to finish out the day. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. This is Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.